بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the discussion on القواعد والأصول الجامعة والفروق والتقاسيم البديعة النافعة. The basic rulings, principles of fiqh, beneficial and eloquent classifications and differentiations. We have reached foundation number 6, the 6th foundation. The author rahimahullah said in this foundation, al-aslu fil ibadat al-hadr fala yushra'u minha illa ma shara'ahu Allah wa rasuluhu wal-aslu fil ibadat al-ibaha fala yuharramu minha illa ma harramahu Allah wa rasuluhu. The fundamental principle concerning worship is prohibition. So nothing is permitted except that which Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam legislated. The fundamental principle concerning worship is prohibition. So nothing is permitted except that which Allah and His Messenger legislated. And the fundamental principle concerning prohibitions, or the fundamental principle concerning transactions and tradition, is that is permissibility, except that which Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made forbidden. And the fundamental principle concerning transactions and traditions is that it is permissible except that which Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made forbidden. This is the 6th foundation. We repeat it. The fundamental principle concerning worship is prohibition. So nothing is permitted except that which Allah and His Messenger legislated. And the fundamental principle concerning transactions and traditions is that is permissibility. It is permissible except that which Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made forbidden. This foundation, as you notice, comprise two great principles. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah mentioned them, and others from the Imams as well, and they are based upon evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. Example: the first foundation, or the first principle, the first principle concerning worship, that worship is prohibited in principle except that which Allah and His Messenger has, except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger made or legislated. An evidence for this is in Surah Ash-Shura, chapter 42, verse 21. قال الله تعالى أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Or have they partners with Allah who have instituted for them a religion which Allah has not allowed? Also, the many places in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded that He be worshipped alone, as in Surah Al-Jinn, chapter 72, verse 18. وأن المساجد لله فلا تدعوا مع الله أحدا. And that the mosques are for Allah alone, so invoke not anyone along with Allah. As the evidence or evidences for the second part of this foundation, stating that habits, traditions and transactions, the principle is that they are permissible and nothing is to be forbidden except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger made forbidden from them. The evidence for this is the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 29. هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. He it is who created for you all that is on earth, including all that which is beneficial. So He made beneficial everything except that which the legislator made forbidden because of its harm. Because of its harm. Also the evidence is as in Surah Al-Jathiyah, في قوله تعالى وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِنْ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
سورة الجاثية 45 verse 13, and has subjected to you all that's in the heavens and all that's in the earth. And also in the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَا سَكَتَ عَنْهُ فَهُوَ عَفُو. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention, then it is عَفُو, it is permissible. And also in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf chapter 7 verse 32, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has forbidden the adoration with clothes given by Allah which He has produced for His slaves, and at-tayyibat, all kinds of lawful things of food? Say, they are in the life of this world for those who believe, and exclusively for them, the believers on the day of resurrection. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here denounced forbidding what He subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for His slaves, from food, from drinks, from clothes, and what's related to that. And from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning the first part of this foundation is what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam said, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Anyone who does something or acts something which is not in accordance with our command will have it rejected. And in the other narration, من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. Whoever introduces in this matter of ours, meaning this deen, that which is not of it, then will have it rejected. So therefore, in origin or in principle, in principle, all worship in principle is forbidden unless there is a proof for its permissibility. And the explanation of this is that worship is a command, either a command of obligation type or a praiseworthy type. So every wajib, every obligation which Allah and His Messenger obligated, or every act which is mustahab, which is recommended, then it is worship. Worship. So therefore, anyone who obligates something or recommends a worship where there is no proof in the Quran nor in the Sunnah about it, then in this case he innovates in the deen, in the religion, that which Allah did not permit, and therefore will have it rejected. And it should be known here now that innovation in worship is either to first to perform a worship whose kind has no legal basis, or to add a certain description to a legal worship without a legal proof. Example: celebrating the Prophet's birthday. This is made as a worship, whereas there is no kind of it. There is no kind of a legal basis to it. Is that clear? An example on the second, concerning the description: someone stands to pray and he says, I will make the sujood 3 times as a means of nearness to Allah. While we know that the legal way of prostration of sujood is 2 sajda, 2 prostrations. This is an addition in description in the worship. The salah in principle is a legal worship, but he added to it a description not approved by Sharia. Is this clear? Or also, as another example, if someone, instead of saying 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 33 times Allahu Akbar following the Salah, he makes it 35 each. He makes it 35 each. In this case, he is innovating in the form, in the description. And for a worship, or for someone to be following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Sharia, then this is manifested in fulfilling six matters. So the worship must follow the Sharia in six matters. First, in cause. So the action must agree with Sharia in six matters. First, in cause. Second, in kind. Second, in kind. Third, in the extent. Third, and fourth, in the manner. In the manner. Fifth, in the time. Sixth, in the place. And therefore, if it doesn't agree with the Sharia in these six matters, then it is invalid, rejected, an innovation in religion. Let's take the first one, that it must be in agreement with respect to the cause of the worship. So if someone makes a worship due to a cause which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make it a cause, for example, if he enters his house, if upon entering his house he offers two rak'ah and makes this a sunnah, then this is in opposition to the Sharia in cause. Is there a cause for this in Sharia? Question. Is this, or is there a cause for this in Sharia to make this a worship? Question. No. Right. You understand this now? Agreement in? Agreement in? Agreement in what? What we are talking about now is agreement in what? Alright. Another example on the issue of the cause. If someone makes a celebration celebrating the victory of the Muslims in the Battle of Badr, is this acceptable? Is this a legal cause? The answer is no. Yes, exactly. There is no legal cause here, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not make that as a cause. Okay. Second, that the action must be in agreement with the Sharia in its kind. In kind. So if someone worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way the kind of which is not legalized, then it will be rejected. For example, if someone offers a horse as a sacrificial animal instead of cattle on the day of sacrifice, would this be acceptable? Would this be acceptable? No. Why? Why? Because it is opposing the Sharia in what? In, it is opposing the Sharia in what? In what type? In kind. Wrong kind. But suppose he slaughters a horse and gives its meat in charity. Is this permissible? Then this is what? Permissible. Why? Because he did not take this as a means of nearness to Allah, slaughtering it as a means of nearness to Allah. However, he slaughtered it to give its meat in charity. Third kind. Clear so far? Clear so far? So we did the cause and we did the kind. The third, that the action must be in agreement with Sharia in extent. In extent. So if someone worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in an extent not legalized by Sharia, like for example, he makes the wudu on each part four times. Is the fourth one accepted? Is the fourth one accepted? No. Why? Because the extent, yes, it goes beyond the extent, exactly. Fine. And we go now to the fourth. The action must be in agreement with Sharia in the manner. So if someone makes an action of worship, takes it as a worship, and it opposes the Sharia in the manner, it will not be accepted from him. As for example, if someone prays and makes sujood before ruku', then his salah is rejected, is invalid, because it is not in agreement with Sharia in what? In manner.
Correct.
Also, if someone starts making wudu by washing his feet first and then his head last, This is what? Rejected, because it is not in agreement with the manner.
Correct.
The fifth, must be in agreement with Sharia in time. So if someone prays the prescribed prayer before its time, it will be rejected. What about if he offers the sacrifice before Salat al-Eid? What about if he offers the sacrifice before Salat al-Eid? Is it acceptable? If he offers the sacrifice before Salat al-Eid, it will... No, it's not the right time, that's right. Not acceptable, because it did not agree with the Sharia in time. Six, must be in agreement in Sharia with Sharia in place. Suppose someone makes i'tikaf, seclusion, in city hall. Is this acceptable? Not the right place. How about at his home? So how about his home? No, not accepted. How about the school? School. What's wrong in this school? School is not a masjid, that's right. Because the seclusion is in the place. So therefore, everyone should remember these matters and then apply everything related to it. Okay, the one who asked the question earlier, Elite, are you here? Elite, are you here? Okay, the answer for your question is in two files. Here they are. Please sit and listen to them, please. Let's take some examples. Someone trades after the second adhan on the day of Jum'ah, and Jum'ah is binding upon him. Is his trade contracts valid or invalid? They are invalid. Why? Why they are invalid? Disagree with the timing. Not in accordance with the legal time. There is a prohibition. Time. Example. Someone sells an ounce of gold for an ounce and a half. Is the sale valid or invalid? Someone sells an ounce of gold for an ounce and a half. Is it valid? Is the sale valid? Invalid. Yes, it is invalid. Why? Why it is invalid? Not proper extent. Exactly. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تبيع الذهب بالذهب إلا مثلا بمثل سواء بسواء. Don't sell gold for gold unless equal in weight. As to the transactions and manners and habits like eating, drinking, clothes, work, businesses, transactions, general traditions, all of this, in principle, the ruling is they are permissible in principle, allowed. So anyone who forbids anything of this forbids anything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make forbidden, nor did his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam make forbidden, then he is an innovator. Just as the mushriks forbade some of the cattle which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made allowable, and his messenger as well. And also, like those who, due to ignorance, want to make some kinds of clothes forbidden, or some types of manufactures forbidden, or some of the newly invented matters, worldly invented matters, forbidden without any legal proof. Anyone who follows this way is misguided and ignorant. These newly worldly invented matters are either
purely good are either, number one, purely good, or second, purely evil, and third, a combination of both. And this is most, the third one, is most of that invented, is of the third type, is of the third type, a combination of both good and evil. An example on the purely good are watches. Watches. An example on purely evil, musical instruments. Musical instruments. An example on a combination, the list is great. Tape recorders, computers, mobile phones. These are in accordance with their utilization. If they are used in good, then they are good. They serve good. And if they are used in evil, then they are evil. They serve evil. And what about selling these things that are of the combined type? What about selling these things of the combined type? If you are certain that its usage is for haram, or most likely it is to be used for haram, then in this case it is forbidden for you to sell it. For example, you know someone who is known for being overwhelmed in listening to music and following the latest and so forth, then don't sell him that which will aid him on his haram. And in case you don't know the way this thing of the combined type, how it's going to be used, you are not certain, and most likely that that the person buying from you will not use it in haram, then the principle is permissibility. The principle is permissibility. Otherwise, no. And it should be known that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make the forbidden except that it is harmful to us. And anyone who follows the forbidden matters will find, who checks the forbidden matters, will find that it covers four categories of harm. That it covers four categories of harm. First, harm to the heart. Harm to the heart. Like music. music sprouts hypocrisy in the heart. The second type of heart or category is physical harm caused by the haram. Physical harm. Example, drugs, alcohol, and so forth. The third is religious harm, harm on one's deen. An example, all forms of innovations, all forms of bid'ah. The fourth category, worldly harm, like the harm in riba, in usury, the transactions of usury, and the like. So anyone who checks the forbidden will find that it will be included in one of these categories. And that's why it is from the greatest favor of Allah upon us that He has made them forbidden. Forbade that which is harmful to us in our hearts, in our bodies, in our deen, in our life. Now therefore, we recap and remember this great principle, this great foundation. In principle, worship is forbidden unless that which is legalized, except that which is legalized by Sharia. Second, in principle, transactions and traditions are permissible except that which is forbidden by Sharia. And this is another great foundation which helps the Muslim understand his deen and act properly. And that also, we would like to remind you again, how the actions of worship, must be in agreement with Sharia with respect to cause, kind, extent, manner, time, and place. Wallahu al-muwaffiq, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.